إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون أما بعد فإن الخير والحديث كتاب الله وخير الحديث حديث محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار الله سبحانه وتعالى says in the Quran أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم من كان يريد حرث الآخرة نزد له في الحرثه Whoever aspires to the harvest of the afterlife, we grant him increase in his harvest. وَمَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدَ حَرْثَ الدُّنْيَا نُؤْتِهِ مِنْحَ وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ نَصِيبٍ And whoever aspires to the harvest of the world, we grant him of it here, but in the afterlife, he shall have no portion. In today's storm of materialism and spread of liberalism, most people's aspirations, our desires, do not extend beyond those of gratifying our desires and appeasing our urges and our appetites. That inner yearning, that innermost desire within every human being to know our origins, our creator, to understand the purpose of our existence, to bring into our lives a richer and deeper sense of meaning has, for all intents and purposes, being stifled, or in some cases, become a social taboo. Even to discuss God, even to discuss religion, in many instances, is no longer acceptable. In short, these fundamental questions, these inner yearnings that ultimately define our humanity, have in most cases either been suppressed and ignored by individuals, or methodically purged from us. What is the result? The result, as we can see for ourselves, is greed, selfishness, nihilism, and a spiritual bankruptcy that has become the dominant hallmark of today's individuals. Mass consumerism, environmental vandalism, and the rape of the earth's natural resources so as to endure today's material comforts, perks, and profits have become emblematic of humanity at a more global level. At any cost, it would seem that materialism may have improved our quality of living, but it continues to play havoc with our quality of life. Alliances are made not on the basis of global betterment, such as removal of poverty, of world debt, the eradication of disease and hunger, but rather on the basis of selfishness, greed, and an insatiable appetite for devouring more and more of the earth's natural resources. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "If the son of Adam was given a valley of gold, he would not be happy till he had another. And if he were given the second, he would love to have a third. For nothing will fill the belly of Adam's son except dust. And Allah forgives he who repents to him." Most of us, most of mankind, have become overwhelmed with our sensual pleasures. And we have become subjugated. We have become slaves to our base carnal desires and habits. We have become diverted from the higher purpose for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. And we have become heedless of His remembrance, and we wander blindly in our drunken state of this love and our habits. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who forgot Allah, so He caused them to forget their own selves, such are the corrupt ones. And the Muslim world is no different. We have been caught up in this storm. We have betaken Western culture for our own. Their goals have become our goals. Their desires have become our desires. Their measurement of success has become our measurement of success. And as such, the Muslim and the Muslim family have fallen prey to a similar dysfunctionality and discord that will always occur when one divorces himself or herself from the very purpose of our existence. When one removes from him or herself the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This fear of poverty, this fear of not keeping up with the Joneses, there's a famous English phrase of keeping up with the Joneses, having to have the latest gadgetry, the latest technology, the best and the most expensive in order to feel worthy in our lives. Whereas the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, by Allah, it is not poverty that I fear for you, but I fear the world will be open to you as it was open to those before you, and that you would compete with it as with one another as they competed with it over one with one another, and that it would destroy you as it destroyed them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's fear for his ummah wasn't poverty. It wasn't poverty. It was the fact that we would compete with one another over this world at the expense of our akhirah. And the one who does so, the one who makes this world his goal, it will bring him destruction as it brought nations before him destruction. This world is like a shadow. You can never catch your shadow. It is a mirage which doesn't truly exist. We're looking for the next fix of consumerism. The next buy. It is the next buy which will bring us that happiness that we so yearn for. That deep gaping hole in our hearts, in our lives, we believe it can only be filled by gathering more mal, more wealth, more things around us. It is these things which we falsely believe to bring us happiness. And our aspirations, our goals, don't go beyond the need of fulfilling this desire within us. But really, we should have a greater aspiration. Our irada should be one of a higher magnitude, of knowing who we are, of knowing the purpose of our creation, of knowing where we are going, to which land, so to put, are we travelling to? Imam Ibn Qayyum, rahimullah, he says, the signs of a sound aspiration is that the person's main concern lies in pleasing his Lord, preparing to meet him, being grieved at the times he spent in other than his Lord's pleasure, and regretting the missed opportunities to be close and intimate with him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us that every person on that day will regret. Everyone will regret. The righteous will regret that they were not more righteous. They did not increase in good deeds. And the wicked will regret because of their wickedness. Now, I am not saying that we live as monks, that we forget this dunya. Because this dunya is but a stepping stone to the akhirah. We have to live within it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived in this dunya. He was not divorced from this dunya. He did not live like a hermit. But we should be careful that this dunya does not overflow our hearts and flood our hearts with its beauty and its and its mirage, like I said earlier. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and listen to this. If you want this dunya, if you want its beauty, if you want its wealth, then listen to the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, whoever makes his akhirah, whoever makes his afterlife his concern, Allah will gather together his affairs, will place contentment in his heart, and the world will come to him despite his reluctance. But whoever makes the world, the dunya, his concern, Allah will split up his affairs, will put poverty before him, and nothing of this world will come to him except what Allah has written for him. What does it mean by gathering his affairs up? What does it mean by splitting up his affairs? Meaning that the day-to-day tasks, his day-to-day activities, Allah will make easy for him, freeing up his time. Because why? His concern is the akhirah. So Allah will free up his time, so he can spend his time on his akhirah. Because what is most of our time taken up with? It is taken up with entertainment, entertaining ourselves, or working for this dunya. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees up the time, so this person can work for his akhirah. On the other side of the coin, whoever wants this dunya, Allah will split up his affairs. His life will become very difficult. His tasks will become difficult. He will find no free time except just chasing after the dunya, chasing after the few dollars that he gets here and there. And Allah will put, and in the first one, the Prophet ﷺ said, Allah will put contentment in his heart. And we mentioned this before. Contentment is the goal, is the secret to a happy life. Because a man who has only two pence to rub together, he can be the most content and the most happy person in the world. And the most richest of men can be the most unhappy and the most dissatisfied and the most ill-content person in the world. So the secret is the contentment we have. And it is Allah who puts contentment in the heart of the man or woman who makes his akhirah his goal or her goal. Whereas the second individual, Allah will split up his affairs and put poverty before him and nothing of this world. And in the first man, the world will come to him. Even though he's not chasing the world, Allah blesses him with this world. As for the second man, who's chasing the shadow, who's chasing that mirage, he never achieves it. He never achieves it. So let our aspirations be for the akhirah. And like I said, I'm not saying we hermitize ourselves and we become like monks, but rather we give each life its due importance. We give the destination to which we are traveling to a greater importance in our lives than this temporary abode in which we live. Further evidence of this is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he said, Allah said, O son of Adam, free yourself, make time for my worship, and I will fill your chest with sufficiency and remove your poverty. But if you do not, I will fill your hands with distraction, and I will not remove your poverty. Make time for Allah, and Allah will be sufficient for you. But if you don't, then Allah will fill your hands with distraction. Every job, everything in your life will become difficult. Nothing is achieved in your tasks in your life. No goals, no objectives are fulfilled. And Allah will put poverty before you. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. The famous hadith narrated by Ibn Umar. We all know it. We all know it. Be in this world as if you were a stranger or a traveler along a path. Again, narrated by Ibn Umar. If you survive till the late afternoon, do not expect to be alive in the morning. And if you survive till the morning, do not take it for an assurance that you will be alive in the late afternoon. Take from your health for your sickness and from your life for your death. Meaning utilize your time wisely. Don't expect that you're going to live to a ripe old age, which you'll then make ibadah, and then you'll then sit in the masjid, and then you'll do Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. How many times? I mean, the news, the media is full of cases, of instances, of healthy people dying of an accident or sudden death. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, he prophesied that one of the signs of the Day of Judgment is sudden death. Healthy people will just suddenly die. We see footballers playing football in their height of athleticism, in their height of youth, in the height of vigor, suddenly have a heart attack and die at the age of 22, 23. The other day, I just read about Australian diplomat who was having a party or attended a party, and he was sitting on the... He was a young man, 26, 28, something like this. He was sitting on the balcony, fell over, fell down several stories, died. It happens. Maybe we know somebody to whom it has happened to. Yet we live as though we're going to live forever. We live as though we can plan against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what does it mean to be in this world as though you are a traveler? It means that you take what you need in your travel. When I'm traveling up to Scotland, or when I'm traveling to Turkey, or when I'm traveling abroad, I only take those things which I need for my journey. I don't start packing the kitchen sink and my bed and everything else in the house. I take only the essentials. Similarly, this world is a journey, and we are the travelers up in this journey. And we only take that which is necessary. We don't bog ourselves down, so we are unable to move in this journey. Because on our backs, we have our entire houses. And the best provision, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks when He mentions the travel to Hajj, when Allah says, take your provisions for Hajj. Take what you need. But the best provision is taqwa. So the best provision for humanity, for the Muslims, on this journey to Allah is taqwa. Is having a conscious awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is your greatest provision. So take what you need from this dunya. Many of the salaf, when we read their biographies, and I'm currently listening to a series of lectures by Sheikh Yasir Qadi on the lives of the Sahaba, you find that they took what they needed. Even though they were blessed with immense wealth in the early stages of the conquest of Islam, they were not attached to this wealth. Allah blessed them. Why? Because they freed up their time for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they made their akhirah, they made their hereafter their goal. And because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them from this dunya. Many of the Ashara Mubashara, the 10 who were promised paradise by the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many of them died wealthy men. Even though they had large families, their wealth when they departed this world was sufficient for all of their wives and their children. Because this is the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to the Muslim who makes his akhirah, makes her akhirah their goal in their life. And it's easier said than done, because we're living in a society in which we see this facade of wealth around us. We see people driving beautiful cars and living in lovely houses and looking beautiful and dressing beautifully. And it's only the human desire within us which is being inflamed. That we also want to be like this. We also want to dress like this and be like this and have what they have. So what the Muslim starts to do is he starts to put his religion on the side. Oh, Islam tells me I can't do this, but you know, let's just put that on the side for now. And let me do it so in order that I can get some monetary benefit in this world. Islam tells me that I'm not allowed to deal with interest, but let me just deal with interest, just so I need to buy this house and I need to get this mortgage, and once I do it, then I'll make istighfar. Islam tells me that I mustn't do this in my business transaction, but let me just do it in order that I can buy this car. I can buy this latest technology. And so on and so forth. So every instance we're sacrificing our deen for a temporary benefit in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَلْ تُؤْثِرُونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. You prefer this world, but the next is longer lasting and better. This world is temporary. We all know that. We all testify to it. That we will die and everything that we have around us we will not take with us. But Allah says the next world is the life of forever. Where the things that you have gathered around you will be with you forever. So surely, as a wise person, I should be working towards forever rather than something which is just temporary. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this worldly life is only a diversion and an amusement. And indeed, the home of the hereafter, that is the true life, if only they knew. Again, Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, it points out that play and amusement are a diversion from our real purpose. And they are simply things that occupy us and our soul and cause us to waste our time and not involve ourselves in the more important things. Because this world, this society that we live in, and it's not even so much the world, if I would caveat it with the Western world or the world in which the Western culture has predominantly taken over, it doesn't allow you to have time to think. Firstly, it occupies you with having to earn a wage, to having to earn a salary to feed yourself and your family. And then when you've done that, it then occupies you with entertainment. It at every corner, it throws entertainment at you. So at the end of a hard day's work, instead of going to the Quran class, instead of going to the lecture on Islam, we think, oh no, I need to put my feet up, it's been a very hard day, I need to entertain myself. So we throw something on the TV, we watch a movie, we do this or we do that. We keep ourselves entertained, not allowing us time for thinking and contemplation. Because this is something which is vitally important to humanity, to have time to think and contemplate upon one's life. But if we don't have time to do that, Because we're either constantly working or we're constantly entertaining ourselves. Then when will we find the time? So that's why it takes great strength, spiritual strength, to find time in one's life to reflect. To reflect upon your life, to reflect upon where you're going, to reflect upon where you've come from. We require this fikr together with dhikr. We require this contemplation together with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The two go hand in hand. And again, with regards to the importance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this dunya, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, while he was walking in the streets of Medina, and there was a dead baby goat with its ears slit, and he said to his companions, which of you would like to have this for one dirham? They said, we do not desire it. What would we use it for? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam again said, would you like to have it for your own? They said, by Allah, even if it were alive, because this cut in the ear was, you know, a sign of an animal which was not, of no good and no use, we would find it defective, since it has small ears, or a cut on the ear, or whatever it was. What do you think now that it is dead? Now that it is dead, we even have less use for it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, by Allah, the world is more insignificant to Allah than that dead goat is to you. This whole world that we so desire is more insignificant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than this dead goat was to the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And again, to further emphasize it, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if this world was worth the equivalent in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to that of a wing of a mosquito, or the wing of a gnat, or the wing of a fly, even if it was worth that much to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He would not have given the disbelievers a single drop of water to drink. Let me say that again. If this world, this whole world, was worth to Allah the wing of a mosquito. Now, when it comes to Eid, I'm going to give you as an Eid present a wing of a mosquito. And let's see what you think of that as a gift. If it was worth even that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He would not have given the disbelievers a single drop to drink. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His mercy, in His rahmah, in His wisdom, He gives the disbeliever wealth upon wealth. Children upon children. Because this world is nothing to him. It means nothing to him. It is simply, like I said, a stepping stone for the Akhirah. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give the disbeliever anything of the hereafter. Not even His mercy. Subhanallah. For in this dunya, Allah gives the disbeliever even His rahmah, even His mercy. But His raheem is only for the believer on the Day of Judgment. For no one else. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees the Akhirah in comparison to the dunya. And an unbeliever who rejects Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who ascribes partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we know, this is something which is despicable to Allah. Allah hates that humanity, having created them, having provided for them, having fed them, having given them everything that they have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the whole of creation is for the benefit of humanity. Everything in creation, the stars, the planets, the animals, the grass, everything that He created was for our benefit. and then to reject him, or then to say he has partners. This is so appalling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet still, he gives to the disbeliever. So what does it tell us? That how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala views the world in which we live. This world that we are so desirous of, this world for which we have zabad, we have sacrificed our religion, what does it tell us? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and were it not that men might become of one way of life, we would have provided for the disbelievers. And I've mentioned this before. And it's again, it puts into stark contrast what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thinks of this dunya. And again, don't get me wrong. Don't think then why has Allah created us? Why has Allah put us in this dunya? He has put us in this dunya because it is a stepping stone. It is the test. This dunya is the test. It's like me saying in my physics exam, well, why did the examiner ask me this question? It's too tough for me. It's too difficult. Why did he do it? He did it because it is the question and he has the right to do it. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed us upon this earth. But he hasn't placed us without guidance. He sent his prophets and messengers and it culminated in the greatest of creation, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was sent to you as a savior to you. To bring you out of that darkness. To bring you out of that room with no windows, with no fresh air. To bring you out from the worship of all of creation to the worship of the Creator. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, was this test not too much for humanity, for the believers? We would have provided those who disbelieve in the most merciful, in Ar-Rahman, we would have given them what? What would Allah have given them? He would have given them silver rooftops. On their houses, Allah would have given the disbelievers silver rooftops. And He would have given them silver stairways to walk up. And silver doors to enter into the houses. And He would have given them thrones of silver on which they could recline. And also adornments of gold. Not just silver, but Allah would have given all of them gold as well. But all of this is nothing but conveniences of the present life. And the hereafter with your Lord, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the greatest blessing, my dear brothers and sisters, as I've mentioned before, it's not the gold, it's not the silver, it's not having every desire and every wish being fulfilled. Because as we know, the last man to enter paradise, after having come out from the hellfire, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him, ask. And he asks and it's given. Ask again. And Allah keeps telling him, ask, ask. Until everything that he has ever desired, he has asked for and it is granted. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, for you this and the earth and 10 times as much as the earth again. This is the man who will have the least in paradise. But that will not be his greatest blessing. My dear brothers and sisters, you know what our greatest blessing in paradise will be? It is to see and to speak to Ar-Rahman, to see and speak to our Lord who created us. That will be the greatest of all blessings. And once we see Him, then everything will be forgotten. All the pain, all the sacrifice, all the hurt will be forgotten. That is what we are traveling to, my dear brothers and sisters. So you ask yourself, next time you think about disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for some little benefit of this dunya, you ask yourself, am I prepared to sacrifice my meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my speaking to Him, my seeing Him? Am I prepared to sacrifice that for this temporary benefit? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the hereafter with your Lord is only for those who have taqwa, only for those who are God fearing. So with that, I'd like to finish. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to behave in a manner in which we put our akhirah in front of our dunya. And may He give us of this dunya until we are content, until we are happy. And may He not fill our hands with distraction, but rather may He fill our hearts with contentment. And may He allow us to tread upon this path, the path which was tread by prophets and messengers and the truthful and the righteous and the upright. And may He not allow us to die upon any other deen except the deen of Allah, except for the deen of Islam, except with La ilaha illallah upon our tongues and in within our hearts. Because I swear by Allah, whoever dies truthfully upon La ilaha illallah will be saved from an eternity in hellfire. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت واستغفرك وأتوب إليك أقيم الصلاة.